All right. Not too many of us today. So it was June 2nd, 1995. Now, you guys probably weren't born then. And it was a Friday, and there was a war going on in what was called Yugoslavia. You know where that is? It's near Italy. And what they have is around that war zone, they had a no-fly zone. But in that no-fly zone, they had military jets that would go up, and they would patrol that area and make sure that they kept it as that people knew that that was a no-fly zone. And this particular day, it's Friday, it was Scott O'Grady's time to go up, and Wilbur, his buddy. Scott was a 29-year-old Air Force pilot, highly trained, and he kind of volunteered. He wanted to go up. He liked flying, and so Wilbur and him, they each got in their F-16C fighter pilot jets. These are like $20 million in each jet. I mean, they're like high tech, okay? They had all the bells and whistles, and they each got in their jets, and they took off, and it was a beautiful day, and they thought, we're just going to circle around. They had to go around several times. It took them like 3 minutes to go around, and they got up there, and it was just so nice, and they're talking back and forth, and then all of a sudden, Wilbur got an alarm going off in his jet that there was a radar on him. And he said, and he radioed to Scott, and he said, I got radar on me. And Scott said, well, I don't have it on me. And then it went away. And then a few minutes later, Scott got an alarm. And he said, hey, I got radar on me now. And Wilbur said, well, I don't have anything. And then all of a sudden, in Scott's cockpit, all these alarms started going off. That not only did he have radar on him, but there was a missile that was tracked right to his jet. And right then, there was a missile that went right between both of their jets. And Wilbur yelled out, and he said, missiles in the air. But as soon as he yelled that, Scott didn't hear him. You know why? Because at that very second that he yelled that, Scott's aircraft got hit by the missile, and it blew up right in the middle, and it blew into pieces. And Scott he prayed. He said, God, help me not to die this way. And he felt heat. He felt this big explosion and this big jolt, and he looked down, and he saw his eject lever. It's like 40 pounds to pull that thing, and he pulled it. It seemed like nothing. And he pulled it, and he got ejected going like 350 miles an hour through this air. I mean, that's enough to even kill you right there, because he didn't have any time to slow the jet down or anything. And he ejected out, and then he thought, is my parachute on me? Did it get burned? Is it going to work? And he started getting nervous because he's supposed to wait to eject it. And he said, you know, I'm not going to wait for it. I'm just going to pull the manual release. So he pulled the manual release, and the parachute deployed. And not only that, but he was 27,000 feet up. It's kind of dangerous to put your parachute that high because you could pass out, but he didn't pass out. And here he's coming down, and he's getting close to the ground, and he sees people and a road and countryside, and he tries to steer away from the road, but the people are seeing him. They're like, look, look, and he's coming down, and he knows, oh no, as soon as I get down, they're going to be after me, and this is enemy territory. So he got down, and as soon as his parachute landed, he started grabbing his radio, kind of got caught in the tangled in the parachute, and he grabbed that, and he was in such a hurry to leave that he left his survival kit with his water and his food and his backup radio, and he took off for the hills, and he just started running as fast as he could until he started hearing people, and he couldn't go any further. His legs were getting heavy, and he just got on the ground, and he was real quiet and still. And pretty soon he heard this man come by and his son, or he thought it was a son, it was a younger guy, and they came by talking, you know, in the language he didn't understand, and he just was quiet near the ground. And he prayed, and he said, God, help me, they're going to see me. And they walked right by him, and they didn't see him. And he thought, there's only miracle can have them. God must have shielded me, because they were right there. And then a few minutes later, like an hour later or something, there was a whole bunch of people, and they were all spaced apart, and they all had rifles. And they were walking, and they were looking. Oh, they were combing the land, and he said, there's no way they're going to find me. But he stayed quiet, and he prayed, and he thought, what prayers do I know? Oh, Lord, though I'm not worthy, speak the word, and I'll be healed. And then he started praying, Our Father, which art in heaven, we just prayed that, right? He was praying that, and then all of a sudden he heard a rifle, and forgive us our Dad says, wait for, and he heard another rifle. And by the time he got through the Lord's Prayer, he heard like 15 rifle shots. And he thought, what are they shooting? There's nothing out here. They're not deer hunting. I'm the only thing that's out here. And then he realized that they were just going to shoot him, probably. They weren't military trained people, and they just wanted to shoot their rifles. And so he was really scared. And he stayed there the whole day, and then it got dark. And they went into the forest. But he thought, I got to get out of here. I got to get further away. So he traveled by night. And then in the morning, he hid. And he thought he was hidden. But then the cows came out. They started eating right where he was. And there was two cows. And he named them Leroy and Alfred or Albert. And they were eating right where he was. And he thought, this isn't a hiding spot. And so in the evening, the cows came back out again. He thought their owner is nearby, and he heard a bell, and he thought, oh no. So at night, he got out of there again. And at night, he was traveling, and in the day, he was hiding and staying still. And he heard helicopters, enemy helicopters, and everything. They were looking for him. But he stayed hid. And by the fourth day, he was really thirsty. And he prayed again, and he said, God, he was praying the whole time. Practically the whole time he was there, he just said, pray, God, send rain like in Noah's time. And that night it rained, and he took a sponge, and he sponged up the water and tried to get as much as he could. And the fifth day, toward evening, he finally got a call out, and they heard him. And his buddies and stuff in the Air Force, they heard him, and they radioed back. And he was able to get out. And that call was kind of a miracle, too, because that guy who heard him wasn't even supposed to be out. He was called back to the base. But he finally got the message. He told them his GPS coordinates, and they said, we're going to pick you up in the next night. We're going to come get you. And he said, no, come get me now. And so then they said, well, we'll see what we can do. But it's dangerous to pick you up during the day. And pretty soon it got light. It started getting light. It was early morning. And they came, they got him. They had sent two helicopters, and they took him, and it was like 15 people that risked their lives, and they took him up and away to safety. And you know what? Scott O'Grady, he believed that God was with him that whole time that he was there, and that God protected him, and that he felt that God was not going to leave him. And he thought the most important thing in life is to have faith in God. It's not what we do. It's not what we have. It's not our occupations. It's to have faith. And he wanted everybody to know that. So he wrote a book, and he started studying the Bible, and he even got a master's degree in biblical teaching. And he really wants everyone to know about his experience. And you know what? We don't have to have an experience like that and get ejected out of a jet. You know why? Because we can read his book. He has a really good book, and he describes everything in detail. But another reason is because we're kind of in a danger zone here ourselves. There's a spiritual battle going on, and he felt that when he was over there. He felt there was a political battle, but he also felt a spiritual battle. And he felt evil, and he knew that God was stronger than the evil. And there's a battle going on here too, and we're in danger. Our lives are in danger. We can be like him. We can have faith that God is going to be with us, he's not going to leave us, and he's going to take us home someday, okay? And I'm going to give you a picture of Scott O'Grady so you can see him, and it's got some things that he wrote and the name of his book on the back in case you want to read it or your parents want to read it to you, okay? And but till then, we're gonna say a prayer, okay? Bow your heads. And dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for protecting Scott and for protecting those military people that came to help rescue him that day. And Lord, we thank you so much for your promise to protect us down here, and that someday you will come and take us up and out of this world and into safety and to be with you. We thank you so much. Amen.